If the U.S. defaults, that AAA rating could be gone for good.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. President Obama will again meet with Republicans today in a quest to find a deal to raise the nation's debt ceiling. If a deal doesn't come, the U.S. credit rating could be in trouble. Rating agency Moody's says it's keeping an eye on those debt talks, saying it'll review the U.S.'s AAA rating if talks break down. Stephen Hess is a senior credit officer at Moody's. He joins us now from New York. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's it going to take for you all to actually pull the trigger and downgrade U.S. debt?
Well, in this case, we're looking at the very short-term possibility that the U.S. could default on debt service payments on U.S. Treasury bonds. That we don't consider very likely at all. However, should that occur, we would downgrade.
What exactly were you looking at when you guys put the AAA rating on review?
The possibility that they might default. We still don't expect it as the most probable scenario. And if it doesn't happen, then we will confirm the rating again at AAA. But we're also looking at the longer-term fiscal position, which is a separate question, but is the subject, as you know, of negotiations in Washington between the Republicans and the administration. That depends on the long-term fiscal and debt outlook of the country.
I know this is a big political story as much as it is an economic one. Did you guys do this intentionally to make some sort of point?
No. Our ratings only speak to the risk to bondholders of U.S. government bonds. Of course, the polarization in the political situation is a factor we have to consider in terms of the likelihood that they might default. But really, we're only looking at the risks faced by bondholders.
Let's take the worst-case scenario and say that you guys do downgrade the debt. How hard would it be to get back to AAA?
If there were actually a default, it would be hard to move back to AAA in the very near term because, you know, once it's happened once, the possibility that it might happen again in the future would still be there unless they fix the way that the debt limit question is handled in Washington, and that doesn't seem likely very quickly. So we think that if they lost the AAA in the near term, there would not be a return to AAA.
Stephen Hess, senior credit officer at Moody's, with us from New York. Stephen, thank you.
Thank you.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are mixed right now. The NASDAQ is down. The Dow is higher, though, by 0.2%, 24 points, 12,515. The Labor Department said first-time jobless claims fell by 22,000 last week. There may be an end to the Minnesota state shutdown, the government shutdown that's been going on there. The Democratic governor says he'll accept a Republican proposal to balance the budget under certain conditions. Google reports its earnings today, expecting better numbers than their last report, especially with the launch of the new social network Google+. And I'm still waiting on my invitation.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, helping small business owners, professionals, and executives monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. Reputation.com. By LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. And by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu.
There's another series of hearings on internet privacy this week in Washington, what with all the high-profile hacking cases going on. And you know what? Protecting people against cybercrime is also good for business. A new study found consumers are actually willing to pay more for online products if they know the site they're using will protect their privacy. From Silicon Valley, here's Marketplace's Steve Henn.
Most academic studies in the past found people really are not willing to pay more money to protect their privacy online. But this one was different. Lori Craner at Carnegie Mellon was one of the authors.
Well, we set it up so that people did a search with a search engine that looked very much like a Google search engine. And when they got their search results, we annotated the search results with a privacy meter. And so you could see at a glance which sites had high privacy, medium privacy, low privacy.
And you could also see at a glance what the prices were.
Yes.
Turns out when it's that easy, folks are willing to pay more at a website that protects privacy. And it doesn't matter what they're shopping for.
We did a follow-up study where we actually had people shop for a set of batteries and then also something much more privacy-sensitive. And we found that for the privacy-sensitive item, they were actually willing to pay a little bit more.
That item's so privacy-sensitive, I get the feeling you're reluctant to actually say what it was.
I can tell you.
But I can't broadcast it. In Silicon Valley, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Meanwhile, the online music service Spotify launches in the U.S. today. It's a big hit in Europe with 10 million registered users. But some music companies are concerned they're going to lose even more sales as listeners stream songs online. From London, here's the BBC's Duncan Bartlett.
Spotify offers more music than any other website except for iTunes. Its library of 15 million songs is searchable, and it's free to listen online, provided you also listen to advertisements. But for $5 a month, the ads are removed, and for $10, you can listen on your mobile phone. 15% of users in Europe pay for these services, but some of the biggest record labels initially refused to join, saying it would hurt sales. The music industry is struggling to find a business model in the digital era and has been suffering a decline in sales for almost a decade, ever since Napster allowed users to download music for free. Napster's co-creator, Sean Parker, is now a managing partner at Spotify.
What I'm trying to do with Spotify is finish what I started with Napster. The distribution model for music remains broken. I've been dedicated the rest of my career to trying to fix what I broke.
Leaked figures suggest Spotify aims to have 50 million US users in its first year and plans a partnership with Facebook. In London, I'm the BBC's Duncan Bartlett for Marketplace.
Finally, it's matrimony in a machine. An interactive device company's come up with the Auto Wed, as in wedding, an 8-foot-high pink vending-like apparatus that'll marry you for just under $2. It's not binding, of course, just ceremonial. The machine, which you can find only in Britain, features buttons for I do or escape. It spits out a couple of plastic rings, too, to mark the occasion. And if you don't work out with your partner, AutoWed lets you print out a 10% off coupon for auto divorce. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Note to U.S. companies that want to crack the China market. Here's a profile of your target customer from one of the most successful companies in that country.
You know, a lot of these are migrants. They'll move from these cities, striking it big. They've got their college education, and it's kind of empowering. And so we're trying to capture that in terms of how we are positioning Chevrolet.
I'm Kai Rizdal, Business 101, How to Get China Right. Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.